Welcome to Big Blue Hits Friday right here on Giants.com, and it's all fueled by Hess. I'm John Schmuck. As always, every Friday, we are joined by Lance Meadow. Lance, Giants getting ready to take on the Detroit Lions, and we will start with our Adorama news of the day. And the big Adorama news of the day today is the injuries on the Giants offensive line. Two big guys in the injury report. David Deal is doubtful. James Brewer is questionable. And boy, Eli Manning has been pressured all year long. It's not going to get any easier this week, Lance.
So the game of musical chairs continues, John. And I guess it wouldn't be appropriate if we didn't at least get to every offensive lineman on this team, considering how this season has played out. So that means maybe Dallas Reynolds gets some time at center. They move Kevin Booth back to guard. Or you see a guy like Stephen Gooden get into the rotation, as well as Brandon Mosley. They have some options. But once again, there's going to be some instability on the O-line because these guys haven't played next to one another.
And no matter where Kevin Booth plays, he's really going to have to take charge here and make sure the guys next to him, whoever they are, know exactly where they have to be depending on what calls Eli Manning makes at the line.
Well, communication is going to be key, John, because as you mentioned, the Lions have arguably the best front four in the NFL. They are very good at getting to the quarterback. They're very good specifically at getting penetration up the middle. So the guards are going to play a huge role in this type of game.
And it'll be a huge key to the game how they handle those defensive tackles of the Lions. Let's take a look at the rest of the injury report and take a look out of the Giants. The injury list, unfortunately for them, is getting bigger and bigger. Jason Pierre-Paul will not go again. No Victor Cruz out with that knee injury. Jarrell Jernigan, Cruz's replacement, also on that injury report. And then, of course, Colin Jenkins, Jermaine McBride, Terrell Thomas, all expected to play. And let's touch on the Cruz thing very quickly. He's out. They all have to depend on Jarrell Jernigan and other guys to pick up the slack.
Well, Jarrell Jernigan's coming off arguably the best game of his career, in which he had 7 receptions in the last contest against the Seahawks. So he's one player that now has an opportunity to step up. Reuben Randall, another player. He's been relatively quiet, John, since he had 6 touchdowns during a 6-game stretch earlier this season.
And that's the Giants losing a key component to an offense that has struggled all year long. Somebody is going to have to step up. Kevin Gilbride talked to the media earlier in the week, and he discussed all the issues the Giants have been having on offense this season.
It doesn't really matter, you know, who's being blamed. The bottom line is we all got to do better, and he's doing the best he can. Could he perform better in some cases? Sure. But could the line perform better? Sure. Could the receivers have performed better? Sure. Could I have called some plays differently that would have helped them out? Yeah, I mean, we're all contributors to the thing. Just like when we have success, we're all part of the reason for the success.
And that goes to our first Twitter question of the day, this one from @JayCowett. If you could pinpoint, Lance, the biggest cause of the Giants' offensive woes this season, what would it be?
Well, it starts with the offensive line, John. Everything is impacted by the O-line. Pass protection, run blocking. I mean, that's really the biggest issue that has plagued this team. And part of it also is Eli Manning's decision-making as well as turnovers. This is a team that was plus 14 in turnover differential last season. They go to minus 17 this season. It's hard to win games when you're so far behind the eight ball.
25 interceptions to Eli Manning. Ties a career high. Probably going to set a new career high. Simple odds with these final two games. It's decision-making, you mentioned it, Lance, but also accuracy. His mechanics seem fouled up.
His completion percentage is down, and you're right. Sometimes he's pressing the envelope. He's trying to force it into very tight spots. Another factor, John, is the wide receivers haven't necessarily bailed him out this season. He's targeted Akeem Nicks. Akeem Nicks hasn't continued some routes. Reuben Randall. They've been off-key all across the board.
All issues the Giants have battled this season, and Eli Manning has pinpointed yet another one.
If you get beat, that's one thing, you know. If you get outplayed, that's one thing. But to not know your, you know, no assignments and do things incorrectly or to do things, you know, wrong that have been corrected a number of times, that's kind of where, you know, where you get upset about things and frustrated.
That's Eli Manning. Some very telling words, in my opinion, Lance, that at this point in the season, with only 2 games remaining, 4 preseason games, 14 regular season games, that some guys on the field still don't know where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to do.
Very mind-boggling. And Eli Manning's not a very vocal player, and he doesn't usually call out his fellow teammates, but he alluded to that in this soundbite that we just played. The fact that frustration's building, and you're right, there's players that have been here for a long time. It's not as if they just brought these guys in last week. And for them not to be able to digest the playbook and continually only make mental mistakes, that's a troubling sign, but that's also a contributing factor as to why the Giants are 5-9.
And I think also a result of all the injuries this offense has had this year. Five of their projected starters before the season have gone out with injuries and have been out for the year. So all these moving parts really seems to have put this offense into flux.
Because Eli Manning's relying on guys, John, that he's not necessarily practicing with on a daily basis. Remember, the running backs, it was supposed to be David Wilson and Andre Brown. That has quickly turned around. The offensive line, the tight ends has changed, the fullback. Every position has been decimated by the injury bug.
Plenty more coming up in Big Blue Hits, fueled by Hess right here on Giants.com. We will take a quick break. When we come back, we'll delve deeper into the Giants and Lions matchup on Sunday. We'll see you in a second.
The objective of the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation is to be there for families who have a child with leukemia, cancer, other forms of cancer.
Tom Coughlin, nice to meet you. Are you a Giant fan? Well, you're a pretty girl.
It's a tremendous feeling to just be with these kids, to have a little bit of an idea of what the families and the children are going through, and again, to try to bring a smile to their face and to let them know that, you know what? We do care.
Yeah, turn everybody in. Yeah.
There's so many things pulling at that family when your child is diagnosed with cancer. What we try to do is keep that core, keep them a family.
Just lightening their burden a little bit is huge for them because it's one less thing that they have to worry about. They can focus on their child and their child getting the treatment that they need.
Giants! There you go.
We're back on Big Blue Hits, fueled by Hess. John Schmelk, Lance Meadow with you. And Lance, you mentioned the Victor Cruz knee surgery off the top of the show, a knee debridement. That's a cleaning up of the cartilage. Nothing serious. They expect him to be back by the offseason workout program. Everything should be okay for 2014.
No reason to further re-aggravate the injury. You're right. You want to keep him on pace for OTA's minicamp because we've seen some Giants wide receivers miss time this offseason, and it's contributed to the offensive woes. The unfortunate part of things, John, is that he's going to fall 2 yards shy of another 1,000-yard season.
Hard to argue he's been the Giants' most consistent wide receiver this year.
He's come up with big play after big play, even in games where it seems like there are no big plays to be made. Been relatively quiet because he did most of his damage early in the season, but Eli Manning would be the first one to tell you, John, you take Victor Cruz out of this offense, who knows where this offense is at this point?
Well, we're going to find out this week. Victor Cruz has been double-teamed all year long. Now we're going to see the impact on the other two Giant wide receivers, Akeem Nix and Reuben Randle, where you don't have the luxury of Victor Cruz drawing double teams.
See, what a perfect segue that we work out on this show. Jarrell Jernigan, Reuben Randle, it's the next guy up. And what they will bring to the table remains to be seen. The Lions don't have the greatest secondary in the NFL. However, these guys are aggressive. They pick up penalties, so they're still going to have to be aggressive at the line of scrimmage. This is an opportunity for Jernigan to make a statement, John. He was a third-round pick in 2011, has yet to really blossom. Can't think of a better opportunity to do it than against the Lions on Sunday.
Well, and he had an opportunity when Victor Cruz went out last week, and Kevin Gilbride was very impressed with the production from the third-year wide receiver.
I thought he came in and really did a terrific job for not really having a lot of opportunities to play as much as he did. After Victor got hurt, he came in and showed the quickness that we always knew he had. I thought he made great decisions in his own coverages. He obviously can run after the catch, which we tried to exploit and take advantage of. Some of those things where he just, you know, we threw a ball underneath and let him catch it and run to kind of offset the pass rush that they had. And then I think you got an example to see an example of his toughness when they unloaded on him with just about as hard a hit as you could hit anybody, and he not only didn't go down, but he turned around and spun, got an extra 5 or 6 yards.
And Jernigan did a great job staying up after that big hit. That brings us to our next Twitter question from @HammerNation19. Can Jarrell Jernigan, Lance, do enough in these last two games to really put him in the mix to compete for either the second or third wide receiver spot on this roster next year?
Well, there may very well be an opportunity for him to move up the depth chart. Akeem Nix is going to be a free agent. We don't know his future status with this team. You know, Victor Cruz can only do so much. They're going to need a wide receiver opposite Cruz, especially with, we don't know what the tight end spot's going to be like next season. That's going to make plays. And Jernigan, you know, his number's going to be called. He's going to have plenty reps over the next couple of games. But once again, John, it's all about what have you done for me lately. And right now, there's not a lot on his resume.
Well, speaking of which, last week, Jordy in 7 catches, 67 yards. How about these numbers, though? Last week, Akeem Nicks, just 1 catch, 5 yards, 3 of Eli Manning's interceptions coming on passes looking for Akeem Nicks. In his last 3 games, Reuben Randall with just 5 catches for 47 yards. So somebody's going to have to step up. Maybe this week it'll be Lewis Murphy Jr. who might get some playing time.
Well, that's another name that we've heard time and time again. All the chatter in the offseason, John, was this guy comes over from Oakland to Carolina where he's been able to stretch the field, but they haven't been able to do that because they're lacking the big plays. So he would be the next guy up along with Jernigan. These are players that are not guaranteed roster spots next season or are very well auditioning to go elsewhere. So they've got to take advantage right now.
Well, we talked about injuries at wide receiver. The Giants have also had a ton of injuries at running back. Let's go through the list. David Wilson, Andre Brown, temporary IR, he's playing now. Brandon Jacobs' knee, now Payne Hillis' concussion. The next guy up is Michael Cox, and Kevin Gilbride is ready to roll him out there.
You know, you deal with the hand that you've been dealt, and I think that he'll give you as much as he has. He'll give you the toughness that he showed in the games that he started. He'll give you the speed if there's an opening there. So, you know, everything's new, and he's trying to learn as best he can. He has certainly developed a little bit, but, you know, would you rather have your starters come in? And sure, but I think he'll do a good job.
And Michael Cox with 20 rushes for 42 yards so far this year, Lance. He's done some kickoff return work. But with everybody hurt, he's going to have to pick up the slack at running back this week.
Or else they're going to have to start feeding the ball to John Connor, the fullback, who was talking about what a great receiver he is out of the backfield. Who knows what they're going to do, but you're right. Michael Cox started against the Vikings, had 11 carries in that game for just over 20 yards, limited reps. Pass protection is somewhat of an issue. I think he needs to improve in that category like any running back who comes into the Giants system. But it's another player where the Giants can evaluate over the next 2 games, given all their injuries, to determine what type of role they see fit moving forward.
And I think they like his talent, but this goes back to what Eli Manning said earlier in the show, Lance. Does he know his assignments? Can you trust him to be in the right place at the right time?
And with a shaky offensive line, John, the next layer of defense is the running back. And Andre Brown even missed a few assignments, gave up some sacks in the last contest. So they can't afford to see breakdowns in the backfield as well.
And they'll have to do it against this Lions defensive line, which is very impressive. And we will have much more on that Lions defensive front later on in the show. But first, it's time for yet another edition of Strategy as Carl Banks breaks down the X's and O's of Sunday's game.
Let's take a look at the Detroit Lions defense. When you're in obvious passing situations, there are 2 people that you've got to be aware of, and those are the 2 inside tackles. They are responsible for collapsing the pocket. What they want to do is get maximum push back to the quarterback so that the wide 9 ends can collapse the edges. What you have to do as an offensive line, you've got to create a halo around your quarterback. Let's take a look here and see what happens. You'll notice your first inside guy right here. He makes a move, another guy there, and you see they come around every angle. Quarterback has nowhere to step up. You've got to be able to push everyone out wide so that the quarterback can step up and make a good throw. Now, let's take a look at Detroit's offense. Running back Reggie Bush. Very explosive, very fast to the edges. Now, if you're a middle linebacker and he's your responsibility, you're going to have to keep pace with him, and I'll show you why. Everyone up front can do a great job of setting the edge, but if the linebacker who's going to be free here cannot make the play, then it's going to result in a touchdown. Let's take a look. Now, the linebacker read the play. He gets too far inside, and you'll see Reggie Bush outruns the linebacker. There's an old saying, when you're playing against Reggie Bush, if you're even, he's leaving. Reggie just outruns him to the edge. When you have great play here, 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 and here, and the ball only has one way to go, your middle linebacker has to pursue and intersect in the backfield instead of down the field at an angle. Linebacker's untouched to the football, and he's still not able to bring Reggie Bush down. There you have it.
And that'll be John Beeson, the middle linebacker for the Giants on Sunday, trying to contain Reggie Bush and lands an extremely explosive Detroit Lions offense that feasts on the big play down the field in both the running game and the passing game.
Very well balanced. They have the number three offense in the league. Last season, Matthew Stafford throws over 700 attempts. This season, the numbers are down. Why? Because they have the arrival of Reggie Bush. And Reggie Bush has done wonders for a guy like Matthew Stafford because he takes pressure off of him. And also, Reggie Bush does a lot of his damage out in the flat as a receiver. He could very well become the second Lions running back in franchise history with at least 1,000 yards on the ground and 500 yards through the air. So that says a lot about his dual threat ability.
And Stafford, your classic gunslinger. He'll throw it down the field. He'll throw it into coverage. He likes to change his arm angle a la Brett Favre to get the ball through the line of scrimmage. This guy can make a big play anytime.
He makes coaches scratch their heads as well as smile at times because, as you mentioned, you never know what Matthew Stafford's going to release out of his arm. But he's been turnover prone. 18 turnovers as a team in the last five games. He's responsible for 12 of them, two fumbles, 10 interceptions. So there's plays to be made if you become an opportunistic defense against the Lions.
And overall, you have the feast with the 28 touchdowns and the famine with the 17 interceptions over the course of the season. You take a look in general, and Ryan Mundy's looked at the tape all week long. He knows Matthew Stafford will air it out and take some chances in the secondary, which means the Giants will have a chance to make some plays themselves.
They have quite a bit of turnovers, and I think that's due to the fact of the quarterback's confidence in his playmakers. Sometimes he'll try to force the ball into tight spots and may make some questionable decisions with the ball. But he trusts his guys out there, and he believes that, you know, they'll go out there and make a play, and they've proven that they can go out there and make plays for him. So we just got to be ready to compete when that ball's in the air.
And we talked about the turnovers, second most giveaways in the league to the New York Giants, unfortunately, for the Detroit Lions, Lance. And like he said, Stafford, even if his receivers are covered, whether it's Calvin Johnson or one of his big tight ends, he's going to throw it up there and he's going to trust his receivers to go after the ball and come down with it.
Because he believes that his wide receivers are aggressive enough to help him bail out. Now, sometimes that works, but more often than not, it leads to turnovers. And that's been the troubling aspect for the Lions this season. Minus 13 turnover differential compared to the Giants, who are at minus 17, the two worst teams in the NFC. John, this game may come down to whoever can hold on to the football most efficiently throughout the course of the four quarters.
Yeah, four fumbles for Reggie Bush, and they've had some drop issues as well. Calvin Johnson with eight drops this year for the Detroit Lions. Now, the Giant that'll probably be primarily assigned to Calvin Johnson, mostly because of height-weight differential, is Prince Amukamara. Now, he's looked at the game tape, and he went back to a game when the Lions played the Arizona Cardinals, and Patrick Peterson locked up Calvin Johnson.
For sure, I watch other quarterbacks. I watched the game with against the Arizona Cardinals with Patrick Peterson, and he shadowed him most of the game, and it seemed like he did pretty well. Calvin broke a couple of good runs, made some good plays, but that's expected because of who Calvin Johnson is. But Patrick played him very, very well, so that's a good tape to watch.
And that's our Twitter question from @DavidARnott. Will the Giants have Prince follow Calvin Johnson no matter where he lines up, Lance? And by the way, just an aside, in that game where Peterson played Johnson so well, still had six catches, 116 yards, and two touchdowns. That's how good Calvin Johnson is.
He is. He's got 12 touchdowns on the season. He's a huge red zone target. He has 75 more targets, John, than the next wide receiver on the team. So Matthew Stafford looks to him more often than not. In terms of moving guys around, they don't do that, the Giants, for the most part. They don't really have that track record. You're right. Prince has the height characteristics that serves the best against Calvin Johnson because McBride, James, these guys are 5'9". So Calvin Johnson at 6'5 is going to have a huge height disparity. When Prince has his opportunities, he needs to take advantage of that.
And we'll see if Tremaine McBride can even play. He's questionable this week. He re-aggravated that groin injury against the Seahawks a week prior. Not just Calvin Johnson, though. They have a pair of tight ends that are 6'6 and 6'7, Pettigrew and Fourier. And Fourier has seven touchdowns in the red zone this year, a huge target for Stafford when they get inside the 20.
And those seven receptions come from 12 targets. So that's pretty amazing in terms of how efficient he is in the red zone. And Joseph Fourier, who's the nephew of Christian Fourier, one of the great tight ends to play this game, really picking up where his uncle left off. Huge arms, big target, and a very difficult assignment for linebackers or even corners. So that's another guy that the Giants need to be well aware of.
And in weeks past, the Giants linebackers have been taken advantage of by tight ends. Even John Beeson, as good a year as he's had, he has had some issues in coverage this season. John Beeson will also be responsible for slowing down Reggie Bush, who Justin Tuck thinks looks like his old self and is very explosive.
I think he looks a lot better this year. I think he's got a lot of that explosion back. You know, so I know how it feels when you're injured and you can't be yourself. So, you know, the last couple of years it looked like that for him, but I think now he's starting to feel good, and it shows. I think he's real close to being a 1,000-yard back on a team that really hasn't been known to run the ball. So, you know, he's played very well for him this year.
And look at Reggie Bush. He does it on the ground, Lance. He does it through the air. Two numbers for you. Lions 3-0 when he rushes for 100 yards or more. 6-1 when he has 100 total yards rushing and receiving. And that first loss, by the way, coming Monday night.
Correct, exactly. See, we all always update our numbers here within the Giants archives, and they came close to winning that game at Baltimore. It was a heartbreaking loss with Justin Tucker with that 61-yard field goal. But getting back to Bush, very effective in the open field. And don't forget Joik Bell, too. They got a nice balance between both of those running backs. The problem is they've also been plagued by drops. Reggie Bush has 8. Calvin Johnson has 8. That's a big reason why the Lions lead the league with 41 drop passes.
And let's go to Joik Bell a little bit, because he's a guy that I really think gives the Lions a different dynamic. We talk about the big plays down the field, but Bell is one of those between-the-tackle, physical runners that'll run over linebackers, get those tough yards, and really provide a different type of offensive weapon for the Lions.
More of a north-south guy, can also catch the ball out of the backfield. And when Bush has been hurt, Joik Bell has proven that he can carry the load. Last season, they were trying to turn to Mikel LeSueur. They hoped Javid Best would come back. Bell was the guy that did the heavy lifting. Now he has the complement with Reggie Bush. So it's a nice dynamic because they have very different styles, the two of them.
The Giants, though, have done a great job all year. They've faced 8 out of the top 10 rushers in the league. Bush will be the 9th out of the top 10. And they've done an excellent job on all of them, holding every single one of those guys, except for DeMarco Murray, under their career and season-long average in terms of yards per carry and yards per game.
Yeah, the defense has been very stingy against the run. And I think that says a lot about the play of the defensive tackles this year, John, specifically Colin Jenkins, what type of impact he's played. They've been very good clogging the lanes. I mean, for them to contain Marshawn Lynch last week, John, that was one of the most deadly running backs in the NFL because he is so tough to bring down. So that says a lot about how far the Giants' defense has come along.
And John Beeson, middle linebacker, has been a weapon against the run.
John Beeson, no coincidence that the defense is turned around since his arrival because of the communication issues. He helped patch that up.
Very physical, fills the hole and can run sideline to sideline as well. When we come back, we will take a look at that very aggressive Lions defense, especially their front four. But first, a very special holiday message from your New York Football Giants.
What toy section are we going to first? You guys,
catch.
Everybody jumping?
Yeah!
All right, good. I like it.
Oh, my God.
What did I say?
How you doing? Giants, there we go.
Say thank you. Say bye bye.
Bye. It's our friend Ryan Berry. He's from New York State.
All right.
Pass, Pedro?
Giants family.
We wish you all a happy holiday
and a safe and peaceful new year.
The Giants always doing a fantastic job in the community. And, of course, happy holidays. Merry Christmas on behalf of the entire Giants organization. But, Lance, still two more football games to play. And the Lions, a team that have been very Jekyll and Hyde. Some weeks they're on Santa's naughty list. Some weeks they're on Santa's nice list.
Yeah, very up and down performance by this Lions defense. Great against the run, not so good against the pass, but they're very good on third down, very good in red zone defense, number one in the NFL. So you get a little good, you get a little bad, and that's why they've been able to stay in a lot of close games, but sometimes you get the mental lapse out of this group, and that can be costly.
Yeah, it's rare you see a team be number one on third downs and in the red zone, holding teams to only a 30% conversion percentage on third downs, 37% in the red zone. But the counter to that, they've given up more touchdowns and points than any other team from outside the red zone, which means once the Giants get inside the 50, they might be able to make some big plays down the field to score before they get inside that 20-yard line.
Because they give up big plays, the Lions secondary specifically, and they're not getting takeaways this season, John, to help counter some of the big chunks of yardage that they're surrendering. Only six interceptions from the secondary. In comparison, two linebackers on their team have combined for seven interceptions.
But they do get some big plays from their defensive tackles. Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley have been all over the field this year. They're sacking quarterbacks, they're stopping the run, and they're going to come after Eli Manning on Sunday.
They're good players. They're big, you know, big guys who, you know, they play the run well, but they get a good job rushing the passer, and just getting a good push on the offensive lineman, kind of getting the guys back in the quarterback's face, which makes it hard to step up. And so you're going to have to, you know, do a good job moving around in the pocket, buying some time, and hopefully our guys can get open on a timely fashion.
Two very athletic, strong guys that cause a lot of trouble in there in terms of blocking schemes and things like that. They're great players, and they seem to give a lot of teams fits.
And Kevin Booth, the guy that is going to have to slow down those two tackles along with whomever starts at guard. And that brings us to our next Twitter question, Lance, from at Brooke. Do the Lions have the best pair of defensive tackles in the league? A couple of stats. Ndamukong Suh, 5.5 sacks. Fairly 3.5. That's 9 total.
The defensive line has been great. I mean, they've combined for 19 of the 28 sacks that the team has been able to put on paper. In terms of being the best defensive tackle combo, the only group that I would compare would be what the Bengals have to offer when Geno Atkins is healthy and they throw Pecco out there. Outside of that, you're talking about Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley, young guys who have been very quick in terms of their development. They get great penetration up the gut. That's why the Lions are so effective, not just getting to the quarterback, John, but also stopping the run.
They can also be a little bit chippy, however. We've seen a number of personal foul penalties. They also lead the league in offsides, does the Lions' defensive line.
50 penalties as a defensive unit, and as you mentioned, 20 of them coming offside. So the lack of discipline has given gifts and opportunities to the opposition, and that's why the Lions have let a lot of games slip away. If the Giants stick to their game plan and they let the Lions come to them a little bit, there could very well be plays to take advantage of.
Both those penalty numbers, by the way, worst in the National Football League. Let's not forget Ziggy Ansah, however. He was their first-round pick in last year's draft. Very raw, has been compared to Jason Pierre-Paul, but he leads the team in sacks with 7. Will Beattie will have to handle him.
Very aggressive off the edge. And Will Beattie has had his fair share of struggles against some of the dynamic edge rushers in this league. Don't forget also Willie Young on the opposite end. He has 3 sacks, a little bit more of a veteran presence. That's why they're so dangerous, because if Ziggy Ansah's seeing double attention, Willie Young will make up for that. Oh, then Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley will have opportunities up the gut. You can't take a break or a playoff with any of these guys.
And then Taylor, another rookie, 6'7", got long arms. They bring him in the sub packages as well. Very fast linebackers. You mentioned DeAndre Levi. 6 interceptions already,
which is tied for the league lead. Antrel Roll up there too, and he's second in tackles. Stephen Tulloch, the other linebacker, who has a tremendous veteran presence. Those two guys very well disciplined, and they're helping provide support for that front four.
Lance, to me, this game's going to come down to protecting Eli from those tackles and not turning the ball over. The Giants do that, I think they have a chance.
Turnovers more of the key. We're talking about the two worst teams in giveaways. So as long as you protect the football, you don't get gifts to the opposition, you have a fighting chance this weekend.
Lance, enjoy the game on Sunday. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Sounds good.
And that's all the time we have for Big Blue Hits Friday right here on Giants.com. It's all fueled by Hess. From everybody here at the New York Football Giants, have a fantastic Christmas, a great holiday season, and we will see you next week. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the game on Sunday, everybody.